Humanity has battled with evil throughout the ages, fought tirelessly to protect itself from being consumed by the monstrous horrors that plague the land. But as darkness grows, the flame of hope grows dim. Who shall rekindle the fire? Who shall save us?
Just Google best magic item ever.
Well, hopefully a bunch of douchebags with dice will do the trick.
Gathered around their screens, drinking and dungeoneering in hopes to get some gold and girls. Join them for a crazy adventure. These are the Tabletop Champions.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Tabletop Champions podcast. I'm Sean, your Dungeon Master, and with me tonight we have Lauren.
Why was the dragon such a great musician? Because he was a master of all the scales.
Matt, who plays Minos?
Where's the beef?
Oh, I forgot to say who you play. Lauren plays Ren.
That's what I was waiting for.
Stephanie, who plays Lux.
Hi, guys.
Ben, who plays Elleron.
Greetings.
And Kyle, who plays Colin.
In the time of chimpanzees, I was a monkey.
That's a good one. That's a good one. So, hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey, Sean.
Nice. Hey.
I'm very excited about, hopefully tonight, thinking something's going to go this direction. If it doesn't, we'll eventually get to it. But if it does, I'm excited. So, yeah. So last week, you guys, there was a crazy sword, and Elleron literally just murdered people.
He, like, super murdered them.
But you guys have a new friend whose name is Travers, the sword.
Yay.
I would say, I don't know about friend as much as
ally.
Forced upon party member that happens to be a sentient murder box or machine. However you want to phrase it.
Right.
No big deal. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing we're not used to, right?
But you can point him in the direction tomato, that you want to go, and he will make sure you get there.
Yeah. I mean, what he leaves even in if his it path is through is
a,
not...
Even if it is through, like, a crowd of children.
Yeah. I'm glad that Colin didn't take this. all right, yeah. So now that we've got
a murder sword,
what's next, Sean? How else are you going to ruin our lives?
So it's nighttime. It's getting on night, and it's getting to be sleepy time, and you guys are kind of just all sitting around taking in the day as it happened. And you're looking around. Everybody's starting to go to sleep, and you notice, like, a bright red comet streaking through the sky. Something like you've never seen. You've seen shooting stars. You've seen other things like that. But this appears to be, like, a not coming towards your lawn, just off in the sky, like a red shooting star. Don't tell me to read another book because it's not related.
I was going to make a...
Not related.
I was literally forming a prophecy joke, but cool. Fair.
No.
Yeah.
And as you guys gaze upon this shooting star of sorts, you guys feel imbued with a new sense of power and purpose. I contacted each of you individually, and you guys gained some sort of new power. You can't explain where it came from. You don't know what it is, but each one of yours is individual. So I don't know if you guys want to keep it secret or discuss what's happening right now.
Nope. mine will be revealed in game.
Okay. But you definitely feel different. Okay. There's something you don't, I mean, you know what it is that you feel like you can now do, but you guys feel different.
I will.
As though you're being kind of watched or observed, or something's looking out for you or looking at you. You're not entirely sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to keep mine secret.
So, Sean, do we inherently know whatever it does? Like, because,
You feel like something was divinely given to you guys. Like, something, like, you guys all collectively feel this. You don't have to say what your power is, but you can say that you feel different. Like, there's a different aura in the group.
Okay.
I'm just going to, I assume, like, are we sitting around, like, a campfire or something? Let's say we are.
Yeah.
And, you know, fine, we are now. I just turn and I go, I don't think I have to eat anymore. I realized in our rush to feed other people that I haven't had any food or water in, like, 2 days? I don't think I...
Are you getting sick?
I feel
great. You're craving But you're craving a good hearty beer.
I don't drink. How dare you? No, I'm not.
But this new feeling you have, you feel like you're craving, like, an ale.
All right.
Well, all of you feel like you're craving an ale.
I'll have to meditate on that later, but no.
It just sounds really good.
Like,
you're sitting by the
thirsty.
Fire, you're looking at, you guys are all looking up at the stars, and, like, just a good stout beer sounds good.
I kind of want to eat, but I don't think I need to anymore.
If Ren feels like she wants to take a drink, she's going to pull out one of the ales from Haven and start drinking.
Yep.
Hey.
It tastes delicious.
I call out for Wrath and ask her, does she have any more of that Fey wine?
Ooh, no.
Yeah, she's like, yo, bro, yeah, totally, let's party. This is a great night. Did you guys see that star? That's kind of fucking weird.
It was different.
She's like, yeah, here, bro. And she hands it to you.
I take a swig of it.
Its intoxicating effects are not as strong as they used to be. You feel like your tolerance for alcohol and stuff has gone up.
Hey, Ren, can I just get a sniff of that? Like, I don't touch the stuff myself, but
okay, and I'm gonna hold it.
And
up
I just put my
him.
Snoot yeah. right up on it, and
it smells real good. Like it would just hit the spot. Not for its
hey,
like.
Hey, so while yep. while he's sniffing it, Ren's gonna like smack the bottom of the bottle so a little bit jumps up and hits him in the face.
Okay.
I awesome. Sneeze and then give you a dirty look and walk away. Hey. Not cool. Not tight.
Yeah.
That's not very mature, Ren.
Look, it's kind of been a long day. I just need a little bit of laughter.
Well,
just a little bit.
I was going to ask for some, but now I'm not sure I want any.
Here, I'll take my hands off of it. You take it. I will not stand anywhere near it.
I actually offer the Fey wine I've been drinking.
Offer who? To who?
Elrond.
Sure. Elrond, are you going to drink it?
Elrond's going to drink the beer that Ren's offering him.
Yeah. It tastes,
just a sip.
It tastes incredibly good. And you guys feel very, like, optimistic. Like, things just feel good. And Lux, you kind of, like, lay back and you're looking up at the stars and you feel like you're in tune with kind of everything around you, the earth beneath you, the sky and everything as you're looking at the stars. And I won't give away your stuff, but you feel very in tune.
Mm-hmm. okay. I am probably going to... Psst, Wrath.
Yo, bro, what's up?
You know?
Bro.
Bro, can we come over here and talk?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. When that comet went over, something weird happened to me.
Yeah, bro.
I feel like I don't know, I feel really in tune with everything, but I also feel like someone's talking to me, maybe? I don't
bro,
know.
Bro, did you
or
take some sweet drugs or what?
No, bro.
You want some?
Okay, bro. It's cool. I just figured if you were sharing, you know, I got some cool stuff. We could do some tradesies.
No, bro. I did something's weird, and since you're Fey like me, I wanted to know if you knew what might be going on.
Bro, I don't know. I don't feel any different.
Okay, Wrath, that's fine. Thanks. I'll come join
no,
the party.
No, that's cool, bro.
Minute.
It's weird because like if it was a Fey thing, you would think I would feel some stuff. But no, I'm good, bro.
Okay. So I'm gonna step away from the party, and I'm gonna sit by myself quietly, and I guess meditate in a way, to try to reach out to whatever I think is reaching out to me. I mean, that's how that
yes.
works.
Yes. Would
right?
you like to tell me what you're casting?
Commune?
Commune, yes. So you sit down and you kind of begin to meditate as you begin to cast the ritual commune. As you're casting it, Minos, Elrond, Ren, and Colin, you guys all begin to feel very tired as though you're going into a very comfortable sleep. Like the weight of the world has kind of been lifted off of your shoulders.
Hmm, okay. Hmm. All right, well, I'm going to just settle
Lux,
in.
You're beginning to feel pretty sleepy as well. during the casting of this ritual,
but it
feels like it's part of the ritual.
Okay.
So you drift further and further and further away. You're looking up at the stars, you're closing your eyes, and you just kind of eventually nod off. And all of the rest of you do too. Lux, you open your eyes and you look around and there's no earth beneath you and there's no regular sky above. When you look around, you're just surrounded by stars. Except for it looks like you're floating above a planet. And as you look at the continents and land masses off in the distance, you kind of recognize it as this looks like a map of Irulan, as though like you're looking at the planet itself. And all of the rest of you guys open your eyes, and Lux, you see all of your companions around you. You see Colin, you see Eleron, you see Minos, Ren, and you guys are all just kind of floating there, like weightlessly, kind of awkwardly, as you stare off into space around you and down at the planet of Irulan.
Okay, so they're awake.
Yes, they're all around you. You guys can kind of talk with each other.
Yeah,
just making sure they're.
Are we?
What's going on?
What?
And then you hear.
Are we flying? I'm confused.
You're just kind of floating there.
I can all of a sudden see my house from here.
You don't see your house.
It was a shitty joke.
You also, when you look down at Irulan, it doesn't look like the Irulan that you recognize. There's less water. The land masses are slightly different. Everything is a little bit just different. And you hear, all of a sudden, all around you, not from any specific place, you hear,
"Oh, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
You came. That's great.
Where are we?
You are in my creation.
And you are?
Me? Maybe I should just show you? I mean, I guess, I don't know. Some people call me Moradin.
You created the world?
Sean,
yes.
Could I?
Well, I mean, Lux brought you here. I figured, Lux? Why did you come?
I felt a little different, and I thought that I needed to go find out who you are. You're the one that was talking to me?
I'm sure all of you felt quite different, but, you know, that's to be expected. Who I am, like I said, maybe I should just show you. It all began a long, long time ago with the Flame of Hope and my children. And then all of a sudden you guys hear a blazing like fire coming from off in the distance as this massive flaming like rock comes streaming past you. And you look down and it's coming extremely fast. And it's making its way towards what you would recognize as Irulan. And it keeps going and going and going and then smashes into Irulan itself.
Are you destroying it?
Well,
oh no, this is long ago. You see, this was at the creation. And this massive fire hits somewhere where you would recognize the oceans of Irulan being. And it burns and smolders as then it begins to melt. And over time, you begin to see water spreading out across Irulan. You begin to see greenery sprouting. And kind of through like your mental capacity, you're not even looking with your eyes at this point. You're kind of feeling the presence of different life forms coming out of different places on Irulan from where they never were before. And specifically, you feel them coming from this small island chain that is formed in the middle of the ocean.
Is it and a landform we recognize, or?
Minos.
Oh.
You recognize this land formation.
As like, that's my home.
Yes, but this was long before it was your home, Minos. I mean, maybe I should just show you, let you experience it for yourself, what it was like at the beginning of the creation. And you guys begin to feel very sleepy.
Okay.
And you begin to nod off. And I want everybody to roll level 20 dwarves.
What?
Yay!
All right, so let's get back to it. So, You guys, after you fall back asleep, you begin to wake up, and all of you begin to hear the clomp, 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 clomp of horseshoes beating on cobblestones. But there's also a very grand echoing coming from behind you. And as you open your eyes, you look around and you see that there's no sky above you. You appear to be in a gigantic stone thing, almost below a mountain. And as you look around, you see great works of stone as you're in this city. And you don't really, I mean, you guys feel like your new selves, as though like something's observing you. So your other characters are observing this, but you are these people for all intents and purposes.
Okay.
Okay.
And okay. Someone to the right of you that you recognize as Nornir the Clairvoyant says, "We've made it. This is the Grand Halls. I can't believe we're finally here after all of our travel, but the greatest is still yet ahead."
I honestly never thought I'd see it.
This is worthy of my songs.
So why don't you guys introduce yourselves and who you are?
Sure. I am Torgo Weedleworm. I am a, according to this character sheet, I am not a, whatever the fuck I am.
I didn't pick your guys'
but don't worry about
that.
So I'm a sorcerer with a shady background, we'll say. And I'm here with my sister.
Trev Weedleworm, thank you very much. And I am a wizard, the more far superior.
I think class. We all know that wizards need to be taught how to do magic, and some of us are just born with it. Thank you.
Bore the shitty attitude.
Sorry, I have to do
Ben,
that
Ben, who are you?
Voice.
No, you're good. Yeah, you guys, yeah, start doing voices. Let's do it. You guys have never gotten to play dwarves.
I'm not prepared a dwarf voice.
It's just your regular voice, but deeper
yeah,
and like
a dwarf voice. You know,
with a bigger beard.
With a bigger beard.
Yeah.
Can you hear my
you
beard?
Need to just have, you need to have the bristles going up against
the microphone.
By the
way, the it's microphone. All canon. All dwarves have beards.
Yes.
All dwarves.
Yes.
Male yes. and female. Yes.
Yeah, I'm down.
So.
Mine has beautiful beads in it.
Yeah.
So, Ben, who are you playing?
I am Signum Heraldine, a dwarven monk.
All right. Matt?
I am Tango Morningstar of the Great Morningstar Clan. I once was a nobleman who decided to become a bard and help create the new dance that is named of my name, the Tango.
I kind of love it. I kind of love it. And Steph, who are you playing?
You're just jealous, Lauren.
Of what? Love you.
Okay. I am playing a barbarian dwarf. My name is Lexi.
It's a big step from Lux.
Oh, fuck. I didn't even think of that.
It's okay. It's been on the NPC list
no,
forever.
It's good.
Take
no,
it.
It's good. It's good.
I know. I was, I'm diversifying myself. And see, I like to drink a lot. That's about all I get from my character sheet.
Okay. All right.
Oh, the strongest are meant to rule. That's okay. So I drink all the time, and I think I should rule everything.
Okay. So just you. You just
so
play
contrary
Steph.
To your belief, let me give you guys a little background of dwarven society as you know it for
I'm
right
sorry.
Now. Dwarves used to live everywhere. Okay, they lived on the surface. There were seafaring dwarves, and the society's been going on for a recorded history of about 500 years. You guys, in particular, all come from the same city. You come from what city? Do you come from?
I don't know. You tell me.
You guys,
Doladon.
Yeah, I was like,
Doladon. Sure. You guys come from Doladon.
Perfect.
Which, as you would know in the future, is not like the surface-dwelling city. Doladon is a great underground complex underneath the Zirigzar Spire Mountains, which you guys have traveled quite a long way to get here. Dwarves used to live, like I said, everywhere. But as different races have come around, different conflicts have come up, and dwarves decided, because dwarves are very advanced, and dwarves follow this god Moradin. And they've been waiting for this herald of the future to come. They knew that someday they would find it, that it already exists in Irulan. And word has been mumming around that somewhere deep within the caverns below the earth, there's a grand fire that they can feel the heat coming from, but no one has gotten there yet. But not only dwarves have heard of this, drow, different races, everything have heard of this fire, and all of them are drawn to it to find great power or something. They're not entirely sure, but you guys believe that this is your divine right to find this. And so a great conflict has been mustered, and the challenge is afoot for whoever is going to find this great flame first. So you guys have made your way through the underground caverns, what would in the future become known as the Underdark, to make your way closer to this. Dwarves from all over the place are coming, amassing for a great search to try and get it first. So you guys find yourself in this city, which, did I say what the name of it was?
No.
Matresh, City of Angels. Okay? It's the grandest dwarven city that's ever existed, and just by chance, it seems to be the closest point to an embarking point to get to this flame. You guys have made your way through with your companion Nornir the Clairvoyant and a weird dwarf named Shaky Smackaroo.
God.
He's been a little bizarre on the journey, but he cooks very well, and you guys have finally made it after months and months of travel. You find yourself safe in this city. As you look around, a river runs through it, and there appears to be floating lights everywhere that almost imitate sunlight. There's trees growing down here. It appears to be a completely self-sufficient society. Like, it doesn't need the surface world, much like a lot of other places that almost all of the other dwarven cities that have existed, unless they're still under construction. And as you guys are making your way across this bridge across the water, Shaky says, "Oh, and another one. We've crossed another city. Where is this it?" And Nornir the Clairvoyant says, "Yes, Shaky, we're here. You can go do whatever you need to do now. You've seen us through. You fed us." He's like, "Okay, I'll catch up with you guys before whatever we're going to do. Okay, bye." And so Shaky trots off towards the nearest tavern. And Nornir says, "That must be the Great Hall. We should probably go there and see if Debo is there."
All right.
So you guys make your way across this bridge. It appears that a lot of dwarves have made their way here. The stables appear completely full. And you hear a voice that says, "Well, hey, y'all. Fancy you bringing your horses down here. You're about the 30th person that's shown up this morn."
"Oh, and what's your name?"
"Me, I'm Travers."
"It's a pleasure to meet you, Travers. I'm Torgo Weedleworm."
It's a little bizarre. He's a human. Your guys are fairly uncomfortable around humans, and it's kind of bizarre that there's a human down here. Dwarves don't believe like they're racially superior or anything like that. They just feel like they've figured it out. They try not to have conflicts with other races. They let other people fight it out. And unfortunately, now they're subject to having to do this. So, but it's weird to see a human down here. There is a sense of mistrust with some surface folk because there have been spies. There have been all that. So it's weird that a stable keep would be a human down here.
Hmm.
Okay. Yeah, so I probably would grab Torgo, either his clothing or his arm, and, you know, just, "Torgo!" And just shake my head no.
What? Why?
Don't.
I'm not a dog.
It's like, huh. Well, I ignore all this and, like, come up to Travers's, like, and I bring out a flower. He's like, "It's very good to meet you, good sir. My name is Tango Morningstar. Clearly you have heard of me, correct?"
"Oh, no, I have not. Sorry. No, I heard of you, but it's real nice to meet you. It's real fine to meet, you know, just good folk coming to fight the good fight."
"Hmm. If you've not heard of me, clearly you're not in the right social circles. Good day, sir."
"Well, good luck to you. Good luck finding the relic."
Can I do an insight on him?
Oh,
sorry. Can I do an insight on him? Just a 19, just to get a read from him.
He seems completely legit. He seems excited to see you guys. And he feels just very confident in his position and happy to be here.
Okay.
Lexi is pissed that everyone is talking. Like,
what does the cantrip friends do?
He already feels like he wants to be your friend.
I know, but what if I want him to be like my best friend?
Well,
you could probably just
give
him a high five.
I see him too lowborn since he doesn't know who I am.
That's fair. And he says, well, y'all better be on your way. I mean, the good Lord Debo is probably expecting you. He's probably got missions for you and all sorts of fun stuff. People don't stay here too long before they got to run off.
Well, I guess we got to run off.
Yes, I suppose we should be going then. So, goodbye, Travers, you said?
Yeah. It's very nice to meet you. Just be safe out there. It's dangerous. Dangerous times.
Well, thank you for the kind words. There's something about you that I think I just like you.
I like you too, friend. I'll take a real extra care of your horse.
Well, good luck.
I do like that weird, like, I do like the dwarf handshake you do with actual, like, friends.
Yep, and he knows it.
Yeah. And this probably pisses off Steph's character like 6 times more.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm pissed.
Does he look like he's got any money, by the way? Like, he's got some cash, or?
He seems like he's just an average citizen. He's not wealthy by any means. He probably has some extra coin because of all the horses that have come and all the people that are coming here to amass.
I'll steal it later. We're good. Okay.
Oh, God. I'm probably going to shove to the front and, like, try to lead partially.
So, you guys begin making your way through the cobblestone streets to the grand hall that's before you. It appears that it's almost wrought out of the stone itself, almost though it was naturally made in the mountain, but it was definitely made by dwarves. It's a grand hall that is extremely pillared as you go to the entrance. It's at least the entrance is at least 60 feet tall. And as you enter, you hear grand singing and just all sorts of stuff coming out of the entrance.
So I assume we're looking for Debu?
Debo, yes.
Lord Debo. Oops, I typed down the wrong name. Debo. Do we know what he looks like?
It's Lord, where is it? Debo Giftdragon. He is the lord of this city. And he just is probably, he's a grand dwarf, wearing, very fine armor, bright, stark red hair, and probably a lot of different decorations in his beard to show his status.
So I assume he's probably sitting, like, on a throne of some variety.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
So you guys enter these grand halls, and it appears like it's just a very, very long room. There's different people milling about, and off in the distance you see a very large stone staircase with a large throne on top of it, and you see a dwarf sitting atop it, looking kind of bored in what you would recognize as Debo.
I just want to be, I know he's a god. I just want to be like, Debo, what's up?
He is no god. You know he's not a god. You only have one god.
I'm just
saying.
And
that's Moradin.
I think you do it anyway. Come on, Torgo.
Let me know how that goes for you, brother.
Debo. It's the closest I'll get.
So you approach the large thing of steps and you say, Debo?
Yeah. What up?
And he says,
My boy.
Well met, adventurers. I'm glad you made it safe. It's Tango, Signum, Lexi, Trev, and Torgo, correct? From Dolodon?
Nailed it.
We have been eagerly awaiting your arrival. We've needed another strike force.
It is a pleasure to see you, Saya.
You as well.
What is the mission?
What are we killing?
Mission is to go find the relic, the prophecy. We're not entirely sure what we're looking for. We just feel its presence. Many of our forces have been lost to drow and humans delving deep and all manner of monster trying to find it. None have been successful yet, but you.
We are very excited about you. You have promise. You've adventured before. You have grown to level 20. He says, yes, I'm very excited for you to embark. You can enjoy the fruits of our township, but I would hope that you would be eager to leave and do this great thing for dwarven kind. Perhaps be the first ones to find it.
Well, it sounds like there's a big rush, huh?
Yes, there is quite the rush. But it's been a 10-year. No one has found it yet.
What do we get again? Did that get established? We're getting something out of this, right?
What do you get? You get to find this for your people. You get to help protect the one thing that was left for us by Moradin. And when he says Moradin, everybody takes a knee around you.
Yes, 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 that's all well and good.
Our clearly great some, creator some sort bestowed of... us, upon us this gift. You would have fame and riches beyond measure.
But
I don't think that is any neither here nor there when it comes to matters like this.
Okay, all right, I'm down. You guys ready?
Fame and fortune awaits. Onward.
Do not worry, Lord. We shall be the ones to find it.
Are you not wary from your travels?
Yes, we would like one night to rest, yes?
Meh.
No? We're good to go? Okay. Don't we need to get supplies?
Well, you will be furnished just the same as any other force that gets sent out. You know this place sends out hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dwarfs all the time. Thousands. What this thing is your guys' divine right. This is bestowed upon you by Moradin themselves. And something that it's the greatest cause a dwarf can do with his life is to like either give his life for this or to find it.
Okay.
Okay.
So you guys, theoretically, outside of riches and money, would probably be pretty eager to just get started on the task. But you could probably rest if you would like see the town, or you can just push forward.
I guess we could rest.
Okay. I don't have any gear. This is Lauren speaking.
You've got gear.
I did not get I'm sure I do. Yeah, I just don't want it all at bucket and
I
tail.
Just assume...
So, I'll figure it out.
I don't think that really matters.
No, it doesn't.
Whatever your default gear is, you've got better.
Pick one really, really good magic item, one medium magic item, and one lesser magic item.
Is that a real thing?
Yes! I don't have the DMG, damn. I'll find it. I'll make it work.
So, are you guys staying the night? Are you just taking off right away? What are you doing?
I think we need to get a move on. I don't think we got there first. I want somebody else to get my money.
I'm glad Colin and Torin showed up.
Yeah, it's all the same. I have such a fucking low range. But you gave me a dwarf. What is a dwarf supposed to sound like besides
Colin and Torin.
It's the same shit. So I'll probably go back more into Torin, just since some of our listeners probably don't even recognize the
right?
Drunk dragon.
Well, they better because this shit's going back seasons and there's going to be a lot of lore going on.
I think we got to get a move on.
I like it. I really like it. Take inspiration for adding an accent in there. So you guys are very eager. You've already traveled. People just supply you up on your way out. And he says, honestly, we don't know where it would be, but Moradin will show us. So choose your way out of the city and make your way.
Deuces.
So there's a lot of paths out of this city. North, northeast, east, southeast, south. You know, basically all compass directions, there appear to be tunnels leading out of the city and ways there. Is there anything that you're doing to try and choose your path, or...
Could I do, like, an arcana check or something to kind of see if I get a feel of, like, I don't know, a magical presence, or... I don't know.
What's your race?
I'm a dwarf!
I mean, class.
Oh, I'm a wizard.
Okay. Your power is, Moradin is your thing. Do you want to prey on it? Do you want to try and do something like that? Is there something that you could try and turn the stakes in your favor?
I guess, I will try to find, I'll probably go find a shrine of Moradin and do a quick prayer. Or, well, not a quick prayer. If I'm going to do something like this, I'm going to take my time and just pray really, really hard.
There are no shrines to Morden. The mountains around you are shrines themselves, and finding a place to pray on that is the basically...
Okay.
You know, it's basically whatever calls to you on that. Whatever you find where you're like, oh, that is a really interesting rock formation that was given to us by Morden. I should really... That's a good spot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I want to go find the coolest stalagmite. Are there stalagmites in this place?
Oh, they're everywhere.
You find Would you one say that, they're like, stalactite?
They're super stalactite. They're cool stalactite. Tight.
Sorry. I'm not sorry. I'm really
no,
not.
No, you're good.
I regret nothing.
Okay, I'm going to find the coolest stalagmite, because those are in the ground, right?
Yes.
And I'm going to go hug it.
Okay.
And give thanks to Morden. Yep. And ask for guidance.
I love the dwarf version of like a tree hugger, just like hugging a fucking stalagmite.
Give me an arcana check.
Okay. Alrighty. That's a 20.
Yeah. Somewhere, definitely you don't want to go west. You want to go east in some form. Northeast, east, or southeast. East. It's the opposite direction from what you came in.
Okay. I'm going to start praying just a little bit harder for a little bit more clarity.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe.
Sean, I'm going to go find someplace, preferably someplace where like there's somewhere like the sun shines in. Anywhere in here?
Yes. It shines down directly on the steps of this grand hall, and that's why they chose it. It's one of the few places anywhere down here that has any sort of direct sunlight. Dwarves bored a way down specifically to make these steps more grand. And so if you were to kneel on the steps themselves, you might you would be within the sunlight.
Okay. I'm going to, you know, kneel down and just try and meditate in the sunlight while I'm on the steps.
Okay, what's your class again?
Monk.
Monk. Yes, you meditate. Spend a key point.
Okay.
And when you spend that key point, you roll me... No, with your key point, you and knowing your group and all that, you figure that so let's go with northeast is the way that you feel you should go.
Okay.
And you feel filled with this divine light, as it were. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All of you guys feel very tied together. So, Trev, you feel... When he made his prayer, you felt the same way. And so you felt that you reinforced him and he reinforced you. And you guys, as a tight-knit group, have basically internally come to this conclusion. Like, praying to Moradin at this point, like, in the future, there's no, like, you know, like, it's harder to contact your god. This is almost like dwarves are in direct contact with Moradin.
Mm-hmm.
In some way.
Okay. Okay, so, like, whenever he gets the sense of we should go, what was it, northeast?
Northeast.
Northeast.
Northeast. Okay, sorry. I couldn't remember what it was. Don't judge me.
Judging you.
No, I can't do that one. Shut the front door, Matt. No, I'm kidding. We'll probably try to reconvene and say we should go northeast.
Hey. Yeah, so it's a fairly unauspicious exit. It's just stalagmites and stalactites going in off into just darkness. This path appears to be one of the less traveled because it appears to be one of the more dangerous. But being the stout adventuring party that you are, refreshed with the light of Moradin and ready to go on your adventure, you traipse directly into danger itself.
And while doing this, I'm playing my lute.
What are you playing?
Just something like fast tempo.
What's the name of it?
Fisher People 2.
Yes, I create the song Fisher People 2.
That is fucking canon. It's somehow been passed down through the generations.
Song that good, come on.
Right? So, yeah, you guys make your way down this cave, and it goes on for a while. You guys know the standard dangers to look for down here, and you either avoid them or you go into them, and if you get into a fight initially, it's not a big deal. You know the dangers of the Underdark, but you're getting deeper. You're getting much, much deeper. And you make your way to a lower point. Everybody make me a dexterity saving throw as the stalagmites behind you collapse. Stalactites behind you collapse.
Oh, shit. Oh, no.
29.
That's a 4.
30.
Damn.
Wow, that's real bad save.
15.
Trev...
I got a 11.
Okay. Torgo, you get smooshed a little bit. Take 4 damage.
Okay.
Trev is a little worse for wear. Trev, you stumble and a stalactite falls directly through your calf muscle. As blood splatters on the cavern floor, you're going to take 20 piercing damage and you are pinned to the floor. As the way behind you is closed off. And
guess we're not going back that way.
You hear a stirring from in front of you that says,
"You have found your way to the wrong cavern.
Try me, fool."
As the walls begin to in front of you, and a great stone beast with a maw filled with stone teeth and glimmering yellow eyes stares you down. You are staring at an immense cave dragon, one of the greatest fears of the people of the Underdark. And as this large creature stares you down, we're going to roll initiative.
Oh, fuck, 6.
I rolled an 18. No, wait, that's a 15.
I actually rolled an 11.
Oh, a crit on initiative.
And I rolled...
Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
Dragon's going first, I guess.
It's going great. 13.
So this dragon goes first as it stares you all down with its glinting yellow eyes in the darkness of this cavern, and it inhales deeply to breathe at you, and that's where we're going to end this episode.
Oh, you know what sucks? I don't have my Colin ability to just ignore dragon's breath now. Bummer.
Right?
That's really handy.
I just got evasion.
Oh, Ben, you have it. Good. Congrats. It's fun. Well, as always, you can keep in touch with the podcast by emailing us at sweet@turtle.fyi. You can join our conversation on our subreddit, turtle.fyi/reddit. And this week, I am posing a challenge to you. I want to see more people in the Reddit. And so post some new stuff in the Reddit. And then arbitrarily, you know, over the next week, of the new posts I see, I'm going to send a set of dice to one of you. So come on to the Reddit, chat with us more, talk. Great. You can also message us on Facebook. You can join our Patreon at patreon.com/tabletop. If you do, you get to pick out NPC names. This episode, we used a bunch of them. Sexy Lexi has been
more
on the fucking list forever. And we finally get to clear it out, although someone dropped the sexy part of it.
Hey, no, that's for you guys to call me.
Well, listen, your beard is dope looking. Find us on Twitter at Tabletop Champs.
Right.
I'm also at Fung.
I'm at Sean the DM.
I'm at the Void Man. The O is a 0.
I'm at RP_GGamer.
I'm at Nat20Stuff.
And I'm at TheNat1Lady.
Till next time, toodles.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.